Colossians chapter number 3, and reading in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse number 17, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. But the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Whatsoever you do, whatsoever you do. And since the theme of the day, if you will, subtitles, I might add this subtitle. How to get ready for work. How to get ready for work. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, and your truth. Lord, we thank you that we can bind together with people of like precious faith to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name. Lord, we ask you that you would open our hearts, our minds to receive, God, what your word would speak into us, God. That we would go forth from this place doing your will, God, seeking to make a difference in the world around about us as your power, God. The Holy Ghost empowers us to do those things and be a witness that you would have us to be. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Whatsoever ye do, subtitled, How to Get Ready for Work. We all appreciate people of action. Most, if not all, would prefer a person of muscle and performance over a person of mouth and pomp. It is a cut down of grade school proportion, but no less applicable to accuse someone of all talk but no action. We might say it like this: they're all bark and no bite. If given a choice between someone who talks the talk or someone who walks the walk, we would be unwise to choose the former. I believe we all would rather have the latter: someone who walks the walk. Jesus gives a very poignant illustration in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. He said, But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go, work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. And he came to the second and said, Likewise. And he answered him and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Even the chief priests and the elders of the people who Jesus posed his questions to were smart enough to understand that what someone does, it's much more important than what someone says. How many times has the adage been said, someone has said, well, just do as I do, not as I say. Now, I understand that they both are important, certainly. What we say does have an effect. But I dare say that what we do is far superior. What we implement in our actions, how we go about doing what we say we are going to do, is very, very important. Maybe so much so that this is the crossroad at which we stand in this day and age. Maybe, as the world looks on, wondering if what we say is supported in what we do. I know it's going to get tight in here. They are waiting on the church, I believe, to truly be the church. Not just look the part. Not just be set apart, though that is important, but to truly be the church. We would do well to be reminded that the church is not this building. The church is not an organization. Nor is it an institution of man's good intent. The church is the ecclesia. The called out ones. The ones called out from the world and unto God. The English word church comes from a Greek word, kerygos, belonging to the Lord. We are set apart. A body of believers wherein what we believe will not be revealed by just what we say, but rather by what we do. James chapter 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now, some may argue, verse 18, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You'll be able to see my faith. I won't just say it, but rather I'll display it. It won't just be all tell and no show, but it will be more show than it is tell. Stay with me. You see, our words are able to have the intended effect. And our words are undoubtedly powerful. But how much more powerful if they are supported in what we do? I believe that we take the power out of what we say by refusing to do what we say we're going to do. Much like the parable that Jesus said where the son looked at his father and in respect said, "Sir, I go. I'm going to go work in your vineyard," but he didn't go. He said what the father wanted to hear, that he would in fact go. While the other said something I'm sure the father did not want to hear. "No, I'm not going to go." But afterwards the Bible says he repented and he went. Might I understand this from the parable? That true repentance is not based upon what I say, but true repentance is based upon what I do. The actions that are implemented in my life, what I actually do far supersedes what I say. So we should be reminded of this being a witness stuff, for which we are empowered by the Holy Ghost, falls short if we only have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof. So Paul, writing the church at Colossae, he tells them, the elect of God, he said, "Boys, girls, it's time to go to work. It's time to be the church. It's time to do. It's time get rid of all the philosophy and all the vain deceit. It's time to stop ruminating and thinking about all these different things. And it's time to actually implement some action. It's time to get ready for work. It's time to do." He concludes, and we read it, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed," that "or" is a conjunction. In other words, what you're doing in your word better be done in your deeds. What you're saying better be displayed in your life. If you and I truly want to do a work for the Lord, if we truly want to work in the kingdom, well then we got to get ready for work. Just as this morning, many of you ladies, I'm sure you used some bobby pins and some hairspray. Made sure things were in certain ways right. You put on certain items of clothing that you probably don't wear throughout the rest of the week. And please understand what I'm trying to get across is that we signify what we do on Sunday as something special. And so we take special time, many of us, and hopefully we do consider what we wear. We do consider what we put on. So the Apostle Paul, in a very spiritual sense, is telling the church, the elect of God, the holy and the beloved, those that are set apart, the ecclesia, the church that belongs to God. He's telling them, if we're going to get ready for work, then we got to put on some stuff. We got to make sure that we're adorned with the right apparel. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Because you're holy. Because you're the church. Because you're a body of believers that show what you believe by what you do. You got to get ready for work. You got to put on mercy. You got to put on kindness. You got to put on humility of mind. And you got to be meek, and you have to be long-suffering. You've got to adorn yourself with these spiritual attributes. You got to make these the tools of your trade. You got to put on your uniform for work. This is what you got to do, saint of God. I realize that we got up this morning, we thought about what we're going to wear and how we're going to tie our tie or button our shirt. But can I say this? It's much more important when we get up on Monday morning that we start to adorn ourselves with the attributes of godliness. That we look and we say, wait a second, before I walk out the door, I better get my mind right where I'm going to be merciful to those around about me. Where I'm going to exemplify humility in my life. Get ready for work. On Sunday we celebrate. On Sunday we come together and we sing songs and spiritual hymns. And we make melody in our heart unto the Lord. And we sing of His grace and His goodness. But on Monday morning it's time to get ready for work. It's time to go out into the social circles. It's time to walk into the workplace. And I would that you would understand the words of the Apostle Paul. Put on, therefore. Because you're getting up on Monday and you're going to face this world and you're going to rub shoulders with those who do not know Jesus like you know Jesus. Well, then you, whatsoever you do in word or deed, you're going to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You got to get ready for work. Put on mercy. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness and long-suffering. You see, one cannot be unmerciful, mean, prideful, abrasive, arrogant, and short-tempered, and do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. I know it's straight to the point. But if you're going to be unmerciful, and you're going to be mean-spirited, and you're going to be arrogant, and you're... Please don't tell people where you go to church. I know that's straightforward, but if you're at lunch, and I don't care if the waiter or the waitress doesn't get it all right, if you choose to be ugly, please don't leave a church card telling people, I'm preaching now. I got my pastor hat on. When you walk out these walls and you walk out into society, I would that you would put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, mercy and kindness and humility. Get ready for work. There's a world that needs your influence. There's a world that needs to be impacted by the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. So if you're going to be mean-spirited, stay home. If you're going to be arrogant and you're going to be prideful, call into work and get in your prayer closet and get your heart right with God. Because when you're interacting with this world, they want to see. They don't care what you say. They want to see ya. So, as a believer, I should wake in the morning and make sure that while I'm getting ready for the day physically, I'm also getting ready for the day spiritually. Well, some days are just bad days. I get that. Maybe somebody's eternity can't afford for me to have a bad day. Maybe that moment in that day has the potential to affect someone forever. Oh, I know. You say, well, maybe you're stretching a little bit. Am I? There's times, let me preach to me for a while. There's times I've responded in anger. I've responded in frustration. Or I've responded because things didn't happen the way I thought they should happen. And I look back on those times and think, Lord, I hope to God. I hope that I didn't negatively impact and influence their life in such a way. I hope it never gets back to them that I'm a professing Christian. I know that's straight. And I know that's right up in our grill, but we need to understand, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all with the understanding that I am a representative, that I am an ambassador of the gospel of Christ, that I go into this world and I walk out of these walls and I interact with a world who needs Jesus. And sometimes the only Jesus they're going to see is the Jesus I choose to display in my life. Get ready for work. He goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Can I say this about unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is the fleshly fat that won't allow anything to fit. Unforgiveness is the fleshy fat that won't allow anything to fit. You see, I can't put on mercy if I have unforgiveness in my heart. I can't put on humility if I've got too much pride to go and ask forgiveness or be a facilitator of forgiveness. Unforgiveness is that fleshly fat. It doesn't look good. When I want to go out, I want to manifest the things of God, and I've got unforgiveness in my heart, and I haven't learned how to forbear my brother or my sister. If I can't do that in the house of God, among the people of God, how in the world? Well, I think I'm going to be able to do that out in the world. If I can't learn how to forgive and forbear, and oh, they may have said something across to me, and maybe they didn't intend to, but they hurt my feelings. Well, as long as you let your feelings get hurt, guess what? You ain't going to be able to put on that sweater of kindness. Because you got too much unforgiveness. It ain't even fit right on the shoulders. I know I'm making some clothing parallels. Excuse, I know men are like, yeah, whatever. Women are like, preach, brother, preach. Come on now. But the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, if you're going to get ready for work, if you're going to go out, you're going to interact with this world, get unforgiveness out of your heart. Forbear one another. Put up with them because they got to put up with you. Put up with them because they have to put up with you. Forbear one another. Forbear one another. If any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He says, above all, don't forget this. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectedness. Let me say it this way. Love is the belt. It holds it all together. Holds it all in place. It's that perfect little accent piece that makes it all just come together. Makes the outfit shine. It just sets it off. It makes it look good. He says, above all, put on charity. Make sure you put your belt on. Tie it all together. Hold it all together. Because if you're not doing it in love, before long, though you may have went out and thought you adorned yourself with some mercy and some kindness and humility, if you didn't do so in love, guess what? It ain't going to be sitting right when the day's done. It's going to be all disheveled and out of place. It's not going to be looking right. Why? Because you didn't do it in love. You didn't put on what you should. Above all, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectedness. It brings it all together. It perfects the mercifulness. It perfects the humility. It perfects the kindness and the forbearance and the forgiveness. It's the love. It holds it all together. Thought about it like this. The Bible tells us God is love. So I am never more godly than when I am loving. Say that again. God is love. And so I am never more godly than when I am loving. When I am choosing to love people, I am choosing. Even though, I've said this before, it bears repeating. People need loving the most when they deserve it the least. Well, they don't deserve it, Pastor. It's not about whether or not they deserve it. It's about the understanding that God is love. And if I'm going to be His ambassador and I am going to be His representative, then I need to do so in love. I put on charity, which is the bond of perfectedness. I make sure that I'm doing what I'm doing in a loving way. It doesn't matter how spiritual one may think themselves to be. I've made this statement before. Bears repeating, I know of an instance where a man looked at another man who was known for being used in the gifts of the Spirit, and he looked at him and said, well, just because we're used in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't mean we should negate the fruit of the Spirit. Love of the Spirit. Love is one of those fruits of the Spirit which ties it all together. He goes on to say, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be thankful that it's you and me in this together. That I don't have to go to work by myself. That I'm not in this all alone. That I have other people that are getting up on Monday morning and they're putting on mercy. And they're putting on kindness. And they're putting on humility. And they're putting on meekness. And they're putting on long-suffering. They're adorning themselves just like I'm adorning myself. We're all in this together, for which we need to be thankful. And we need to be at peace with one another. In order to resolve conflict. A world that has no peace. How are we going to reach a world in conflict if we have no peace ourselves? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Let the peace of God reign in your heart. Teaching, admonishing, singing, all of these serve to place the word of Christ in us. The more that we avail ourselves to the things and people of God, the more His word dwells in us, and the more we are empowered to perform in His name. We'll say that again. The more that we avail ourselves to the things of God and the people of God, the more that we participate in the singing and the fellowshipping and the testimoning and the admonishing one another and strengthening one another and encouraging one another, the more the Word of Christ dwells in us richly and the more that we are able to do things in the name of Jesus Christ. See, remember, His name means so much more than just saying His name. Not long ago, I brought out two thoughts in Judaism concerning the name, the Hashem. There is the Chilil Hashem, which is the desecration of the name, and there is the Kadesh Hashem, which is sanctification of the name. You see, the Jews are very concerned with not committing Chilil Hashem. They don't want to desecrate the name. This is the understanding behind the commandment, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. It's about not desecrating the name, because the name means so much more than just an identifier of a person. It has to do with the essence. It encompasses all that that individual is. And so when we say we're going to do things, and the Apostle Paul says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Make sure that what you're doing
is not Chalil Hashem. You are not desecrating the name, but you are sanctifying the name. That you are doing everything in your power to make sure that you are representing the name in all of its essence, in all that it means. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, there is no name like Jesus. There is no essence. There is no identifier. There is no one. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever. You have no rival. You have no equal. And so, Lord, when I go about my day, I want to make sure I'm ready for work. I want to make sure I'm put on the things that are going to be a representation of your name. For there's no name like your name. There's no one like you, Jesus. And when I walk among this world, I want to walk as a light in darkness. I want to shine forth your love. I want to be a representation of the name of Jesus. All that it means. I'm quickly coming to a close. He says, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, here's something very important. Your all is different than my all. But your all is the same as my all. I'll say that again. Your all is different from my all, but your all is the same as my all. See, my talents and abilities are different than your talents and abilities. But God has blessed me with, and the talents that God has placed in my care and my stewardship are different than the talents, the treasures, and the things that God has placed in your care. And God has given you power over. But yet, my all is the same as your all. And that it means everything. Everything that I have, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever talents, whatever abilities God has given unto you, though they may not be like your brothers, and though they may not be like your sister, you need to do them all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You need to do them all with the understanding that I am representing a name. It is above every name. I am representing a name that neither is there salvation in any name. For there is none other under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I represent a name. And what I do in word, what I say or what I do, let it all of it be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Let what I do, let my life be a display of gratitude for God's work in my life. For He has been merciful to me. And He has forbeared me. And He has forgiven me. And He is the ultimate of example of meekness and humility. And so I want to represent His name. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Call ourselves apostolic. In fact, it's in our name. First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. We do so because we undoubtedly want to identify with the apostles. Do you know that the word apostle comes from Apostello, meaning a delegate, especially an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers. Apostle messenger. He that is sent. See, I don't want to just be apostolic in my doctrine. I want to be apostolic in my action. What I do. How I interact with this world. How I go about my daily duties. I want to be apostolic. I want to just show up on Sundays and go through the motions and call myself apostolic. On Monday, I want to get up. I want to get ready for work. I want to put on mercy, humility, and meekness, long suffering. Why? Because I represent a name. I'm an apostle. I'm a messenger. I'm an ambassador. I'm an official representation of Jesus Christ. I don't want to just have the form of godliness, but I want to have the power thereof. I want to go throughout the world being apostolic. And whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get ready for work. Put on mercy. Put on grace, forgiveness. Put on love. Why? Because there's a world who desperately needs Jesus. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm going to work in the kingdom, if I'm going to do a work for God, well, I got to get ready for work. Got to adorn myself with those attributes of the Spirit to be merciful, kind. The one to love till there's just no more love I could never outlove the Lord. These altars are open if you would like to come and pray.
I want to live the way He wants me to live.
The book is called The Acts of the Apostles. We're truly a book of Acts, church. There's action that has to take place. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's get ready for work.
I could never outlove the Lord.
I wake up in the morning as I'm getting ready for my day. In a physical sense, Lord, help me get ready for my day. In a spiritual sense,
until there's just no more love, I could never outlove the Lord. I want to live.
Somebody in your workplace or somebody you're rubbing shoulders with who needs you to bring Jesus to them.
There's just no more to give. I want to love.
Don't be judgmental. Be merciful.
There's just no.
Don't let pride get the situation. Be humble.
I could never
don't be arrogant. Don't act like you know it all. Be meek. When I rise in the morning, Lord, help me get ready for work.
Until there's just no more to give.
Let me wear the biblical uniform.
Love.
no more love. I could never outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give.
I love you, saint of God. But if you wake up and you're ill-tempered and you're sour, you're going to go out through your community. I'd rather you just stay home. At least until you can get your heart right. You can go out so that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Whatsoever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Before you act, before you speak, it would be good to run it through a filter. A filter that would determine, would this sanctify the name? Would this desecrate the name? What I'm about to say or what I'm about to do, is it going to be Jalil Hashim? Or is it going to be Kadesh Hashim? Because I want to do and say all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my report to be such among all men that I am seen as an ambassador of Christ. Hallelujah. One more time, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? We thank you for your word. Help us. Help us to get ready for work. Put on mercy and kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, to forgive and to forbear. Put on love. For I go out as a delegate, as an ambassador of Christ, to be light in darkness, to shine forth as a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Hallelujah. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May God in the precious name of Jesus Christ.